Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Psalm chapter 21. Psalm chapter 21. Psalm 21, what is our heart's desire? And shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the privilege to be in your house tonight. I pray that our desire would be to you tonight and to your perfect will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 21, verse 1. The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation how greatly shall he rejoice. Thou hast given him his heart's desire and hast not withholden the request of his lips. Selah. What is your heart's desire tonight? What is my heart's desire? What is our desire for this year? I mean, what is that burning desire upon our hearts for this year? I've just started doing some Bible reading online. I've talked about it for a long time. And when I record the guys for the nursing homes, I just love to hear them preach. And I just love to read the Word of God. And that's what our nation needs, doesn't it? Is that really our burning desire? God made our mouths. God made our tongues. How do we use them? Wouldn't it be wonderful just to have the strong desire to use our mouths and our tongues for God this year? This very night. God has given us that tongue. The word desire, according to Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary, means, well, it defines it as desire is that internal act which, by influencing the will, makes us proceed to action. Let me read that again, a lot of different parts to it. Desire is that internal act. That's where desire is, that internal act, which by influencing the will, so our desires influence our will. What we desire to do, by influencing the will, makes us proceed to action. So our desires affects our will, and then it moves us to action. There's a lot of patriots that are not necessarily saved patriots. And all of us have a sin nature. And although there's probably some Antifa mixed in with all the group today, probably stirring up some of that, I know one thing, there's a lot of service guys that are patriots. And, you know, we have flesh, and if we think someone's taking our country away from us, taking our freedom away from us, you know what? We all have sinful flesh, and I'm afraid some of them allowed their sinful flesh to take over today. And maybe a lot of it, maybe most of it was just other agitators. I don't know, but I do know we all have sinful flesh. So what actions are we being moved to take? You get a patriot, you get a guy who's fought for our country, given risk his life for our country, and then you see some wicked, ungodly politicians trying to take our freedoms away. Well, you know what? That freedom, that patriot fighter is not going to want to give up without a fight. And of course, that's the wrong way to take the fight to Washington is what happened today, but nonetheless, that probably is what happened with many of them. But what actions are we taking with our tongues? It's the same way when we feel really passionate about something, it often comes out our tongues, doesn't it? Notice in Colossians 4 and verse 6, what is our heart's desire for this year? My heart's desire is that the word of God would be upon my lips. That's my desire. Colossians 4:6. Let your what? your speech. Be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. That should be our burning desire. That should be the desire within us that affects our will and moves us to action. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. It should be our burning desire this year that salt, grace and salt would be in our speech. Notice in Luke chapter 6 in verse 27. Luke 6 in verse 27. What is our burning desire? What will it move us to do this year? How will it affect our will? In Luke 6, 27, the Bible says, "But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you." Well, that would have been really good to have memorized today if you were in Washington, wouldn't it? "But I say to you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you." I don't think, if it was the Antifa guys mixed in were there, they're just out for anybody's blood. But for the Patriots, I don't think any of the Patriots had it in for the police. I think their disgust was with the politicians on the other side of the police. And that was a shame because the clash came with the police. But it's not the right way to go at it. Bless them that curse you and pray for them which despitefully use you. That's the right way to do it. So our words to people that curse us, and there's a lot of ungodly liberals that have said really bad things about us as Christians and as patriots, but we're not to curse them or to bless them. We're to ask God to bring them to repentance and faith in Him. So our words to people should be to bless them. Number two, our words to God about those people. What are our words to God about those type of politicians? What do we say to God about them? Well, the Bible tells us there in verse 28, it said, "Bless them that curse you," and then it says, "and what? Pray for them which despitefully use you." No doubt there's a lot of ungodly people that despise us as Christians. But what are we to do? How are we to pray for them? Well, we're to pray that they might repent and be saved. Notice in Romans chapter 12. I think another thing that was a breaking point today was when it seemed like the promises were broken by the politicians that said they were going to stand up for the patriots. I think at that point was when some people, that was the breaking point. Aren't you glad that God keeps His promises? He doesn't change. And that's what's needed. In Romans 12, 14, "Bless them which what? Persecute you. Bless and curse not." You know, we are so used to it in our day and age of people that claim to be religious, but curse words are just a normal part of their lives. The airwaves are filled with people like that. Talk radio is filled with people like that. People that will say God bless America, people that will claim a personal relationship with God. But it's not uncommon to hear curse words come out of their mouths just as frequently, especially when they get excited or upset. So they're talking about God 1 minute, and then they get excited and emotional, and then these curse words start tumbling out of their mouths. And so Our words to God should not be curse words. Our mouths should never bring forth curse words. But we shouldn't be asking God to curse those people. We should be asking God to bring them to repentance and salvation. So what actions are we taking with our tongues? What is your burning desire in your life right now? What? Maybe you say, well, I guess I don't have one. Well, what are your desires? What are my desires? What right now is affecting my will to such an extent that it's moving me to action one way or another? Or maybe that's a fault of mine. Maybe I don't have strong enough desires to move me to do anything. Maybe it's like Laodicea, lukewarm. And that makes God sick, doesn't it? What are our desires? So are we speaking words from heaven with grace seasoned with salt, or are we speaking words from hell? Notice in James 3, James chapter 3. James chapter 3, and according to James chapter 3, the closest a Christian will ever get to hellfire is right there, our tongues. James 3, 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in what? Many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is what? Perfect man. Is there anyone here that's perfect? No. You know what that means? We've all offended people by what we've said with our tongues. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of what? Hell. For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith what? Curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Our country's in turmoil. We have so many people who will bless and curse out of the same mouth. God says that shouldn't be. And as I said, we have a lot of angry people in America tonight, a lot of angry people. They're tired of being pushed toward a socialist agenda. They feel betrayed by their political leaders. And as I said, I'm sure there were other agitators in the crowd, but I think it was a breaking point for some people. And sadly, the police were the ones between the two. But the fact remains that there are a lot of fiercely patriotic people that are lost in their sin. They're not saved. So what words do we desire to speak with our tongues? That huge crowd in Washington yesterday and today, what were the words that they really needed to hear? They needed to hear the gospel. They needed to hear instruction from God's word. You know what? It's not us that can bring down ungodly leaders. That is, we can't legally do that, other than through the polls and through recalls. But I mean, physically, we can't bring them down. That's illegal. So why do we do it? What would have been better? 2 days of protest and fiery speeches, or 2 days with tears streaming down our faces, praying for a great revival and a great awakening? What would have done more good? Well, I know you know the answer. It would have been on our knees, right? It would have been tears. Not terror, but tears. Crying out to God Almighty. For those politicians who are wicked and ungodly, we have to leave them in God's hands, other than, as I said, when it's time to vote, vote. Now, but look at Psalm 2. We need to remind ourselves, because you know what? We are patriotic as well, and it's easy to get upset. Psalm chapter 2 and verse 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying. I would say there were a lot of leaders like that before the elections got together and did every crooked, ungodly thing they could to affect this election. Verse 3, they continue, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall what? Shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in what? His sore displeasure. You know, we have to remember that. He's the one over them. He can vex them in his wrath, and justly so. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with what? Fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Did they know anything about the Son of God? Should they have known that the Messiah was going to be the Son of God? Just read this chapter, verse 7. Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. They should have known the Messiah was going to be the Son of God. Verse 12, kiss the Son, lest he be angry. And then blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Yes, they should have known. So as Christians, we need to saturate our minds and hearts with the Word of God in such times like this. Or you know what? We'll get into that same mindset is the angry patriots. But God wants us in a different mindset. He wants us to be acting according to the Word. Remember, desire. Desire is that what moves us inwardly, moves our will into action. Remember what the church did when Herod wrongly killed one of their preachers? Look at Acts 12. Acts chapter 12. Well, the church didn't protest, did they? Acts 12. And verse 1. Now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of what? The church that might be coming on us real soon. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. So what if the government comes along and they don't like what I say and they kill me? Or they throw me in prison? Or in this case, they killed James. And then verse 3, and because he sought pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. So what if they come along and kill me and they imprison Pastor Jeremy? What should you do? Should you storm the jail? You know, should you march around it and chant? Should you write every other Christian you know and fill Greenville with so many people you can't even drive through it? There's just nothing but wall-to-wall people. Should you let them know that you're not going to stand for it? What are you going to do? But just what happened in Washington, those people just get thrown in jail. So what was the point there? That's not what the church did. And verse 4, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept where? In prison. But what? Prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. So the early church, our pattern, when we face such corrupt times as we are living in, the pattern is prayer. You don't protest, you pray. Prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. So, you know, we cannot legally break someone out of jail. I was told that someone, one of the people that broke into the Capitol building or wherever her office is, Mrs. Pelosi's office, somebody broke in there, some guy, and was sitting in her chair with his feet propped up on her desk. What is that going to help? She's going to be at that same desk tomorrow, probably. And where is he going to be? Probably in jail. So what did it help? We cannot legally bring down those leaders in that way, and we cannot legally break someone out of jail. But you know what? God is the judge of all. And he can release someone out of jail justly anytime he so decrees. And so that's what he did. Verse 6, and when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came into the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. You know, in such a situation, it's only God that can release us. And so the church wisely we're praying. Our greatest power is not in protest. Our greatest power is in prayer. Verse 12. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together, what? Praying. And, you know, even when we do pray, how great is our faith? Well, we see how great their faith was, verse 13. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, what did she do? Praise God, our prayers are answered. No. She opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is his angel. But Peter continued knocking, And when they'd opened the door and saw him, they were what? Astonished. Oh, how great our faith, huh? No, it wasn't thanks to their faith, but God did answer their prayer. So, you know, even when we do pray, how great is our faith? Well, probably about like theirs right there most of the time. Verse 17, but he beckoning unto them with a hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. That's the only legal way to get out. And he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. So we can't bring an ungodly leader down, but by legal means, like voting. And that's pretty hard right now, the way it's so corrupted. But we need to pray. We need to pray. God can take care of a leader at any time. Verse 20. And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon. But they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus, the king's chamberlain, their friend, desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a god and not of a man. And immediately, who? The angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. You know, God is the only one who can legally and rightly and justly bring a person down. And that's exactly what he did with Herod. The church couldn't have done it. If the church would have stormed Herod's palace and tried to kill him, well, they might have succeeded, then they would have been murderers. Or they probably would have failed, and then they would have all been in prison. So what is our desire for this year? Well, verse 24. But what? The word of God, what? Grew and what? Multiplied. That is my desire. That's my desire. And I pray that it's your desire as well. I pray that would be what is moving. The strong desire of our hearts that the word of God, that's what Washington needs. That's what patriots need, is the word of God. Not protest, but preaching and sharing the wonderful words of God. Notice in Psalm 19. Psalm 19 and verse 7. Psalm 19, 7. The law of the Lord is what? Perfect. Converting the soul. Do you realize that's the only way to make a lasting change? You know, when you do protest and maybe something changes, someone else can come along behind you and do a protest the opposite way and change it. You can do petitions and get a change, but someone can come around and do petitions. Prohibition. In America, at one point, alcohol was outlawed. The making and selling of it was outlawed. But what happened about 10 years later? It was reversed. So the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. That's what is needed in America, is converted souls. If all the souls were converted, they would be freedom-loving, not socialist-loving. If they are truly converted, they wouldn't want to bring people into bondage, but they'd give them freedom. For the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Did any of you hear on the news today or read that in Washington, D.C., there was an earthquake? I forget what year. Did anyone hear a little history today? There was an earthquake in Washington, D.C., and I don't know, was it at the same time? I forget. It might have, I think I think they were saying it was when one of these same things was taking place. I'll have to double check on that. But how much different would it be? You know, there's a lot of people that are going to be leaving Washington, D.C. tonight or early in the morning. And they're going to feel so lousy. They're going to feel like they were betrayed. They're going to be angry down deep inside, and nothing was fixed. Wouldn't it have been something that instead of storming the Capitol building, that the whole crowd would have been praying and crying out to God, and that God would have sent an earthquake that would have caused those politicians to scatter out of that building for fear? That would have been much better if God would have interrupted that meeting, not the protesters. It's the Word of God that's perfect. It's the Word of God that's sure. It's the Word of God that's right. It's the Word of God that's pure. It's the Word of God that's clean. It's the Word of God that's true and righteous altogether. Verse 10, it's the Word of God that is more to be what? Desired than gold. Yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. The last verse here in Psalm 19. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I pray that God would help us. What is our desire for this year? That definition again, desire is that internal act which by influencing the will makes us proceed to action. Desire. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desire of thy heart. I pray that our desire would be to spread the word of God. It's better than gold. It's sweeter than honey. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, that is our prayer tonight. Oh, Father, how the situation could have been so much different in Washington the last couple days if the holy word of God were preached and people were on their knees in prayer and tears crying out to you. How the end of this day could have been so much different. We could have seen a heavenly change, a change, maybe we should say an earthly change affected from heaven. Father, we pray for our leaders, for our land. Lord, I pray for our leaders that you'd bring them to repentance and faith. Some of them have broken their word. They've broken their promises. And they've made many people very angry. Lord, I pray that you would bring them to repentance. I pray that they'd humble themselves before the people they're supposed to serve. And that most of all, that they'd humble themselves before you and truly be born again. Father, there are so many important people that claim to be religious, but the curse words just seem to roll out of their mouths. Something's wrong. Father, I pray you'd help us as Christians. Father, it seems like we are the hunted now. Like back when Saul was after Christians to persecute them, to hunt them down. But Father, I pray that we would rest in thee. Our hope is in you. I pray that our words would be the word of God. And that we would not be moved to protest, but be moved to prayer. Father, I pray that your bottle would be filled with our tears our tears for a nation that has forgotten God. Please help us, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.